Nova, Juneau, Ketchikan, Sitka, Eagle River, Chugiak, Kenai, Homer, Soldotna, Unalaska, Wasilla, Anchorage, and Kodiak are just 21 of over 50 communities or boroughs reporting positive COVID-19 cases. These communities are infected with COVID, so if you're traveling to or from those communities, know your risk of contracting the virus. Kodiak is averaging 84 airline passengers, both arriving and departing each flight. I would like you to consider the essential need to travel. Can you put travel off during this rapid rise? Kodiak is seeing the recent case counts related to travel, and specifically those traveling to Anchorage. Anchorage reported 129 cases today. We have had fewer cases in the past 7 months than Anchorage reported today. So as a community, we have done a great job of keeping one another safe, even with this average number of cases, but we can do better. Avoid close contact, wear a mask, and stay home if you're sick. If you must travel, take every precaution and plan a few days upon your return to be sure that you're healthy. Get tested as soon as you feel any unusual symptoms such as fever, chills, body aches, shortness of breath. Kodiak cases are related to known clusters, meaning they're isolated. The virus is highly contagious and it can spread easily within a family or close contacts. As a reminder for employers or businesses, follow your mitigation plans. Don't be complacent. After 227 days, we're all suffering some level of COVID fatigue, but we are a resilient community and we care for one another. By this, I include our rural Kodiak communities. Don't be asleep at the wheel. Wear that mask. We're all in this together, so do the best you can to avoid becoming ill. We are so fortunate to have the testing capacity here on island. Canna, KCHC, and Providence have really supported this community, and by delivering results in a timely fashion, we are able to isolate positive cases quickly. Other communities are not so fortunate. If you do need to travel, we suggest testing upon returning to Kodiak because a rapid test result could prevent a school or a business closure. Just imagine what an outbreak within your office or business could do to your ability to stay open. Many people testing in Anchorage aren't getting results for several days afterwards. So if you come back to Kodiak, see if you can get a test and assure yourself and your family that you're healthy. Even though the governor or the EOC have not issued a mask mandate, take the high road and require masks of your customers and employees. Our economy relies on one another. The governor is waiting until next week to announce whether to extend the emergency health declaration. So we're waiting as well to see what happens. The Emergency Operations Center, with support from the state of Alaska, has acquired many resources that have been used within our community. The EOC has supplied masks, cleaning supplies, PPE, and most notably, COVID test kits. Currently, we have over 12,000 individual test kits available, with more arriving each week. So these will be delivered to our testing sites for your use. So don't hesitate to call Canna at 486-9870 or KCHC at 481-5000 to schedule a test. Both testing locations have relocated from Bayside Fire Station to their own respective locations. So Canna is now at 3472 East Resinoff and KCHC is at 3248 Millbay Road. Both locations have signs out front identifying the testing location. Earlier, I spoke of travel. Many cases are related to travel. As people spread across the globe, the pandemic grows. This is what is bringing this nasty virus to our island. Think about how those invasive species came to Kodiak. Many traveled by ship, or vehicle on the ferry, or inadvertently hand carried here. Well, there is a similarity here to this virus. This Saturday is Halloween. Develop a good safety plan for your children as there will be numerous contacts with others. There are likely COVID cases in the community that we are unaware of, so please be safe. If you can provide treats in a non-contact way, please do so. There are many innovative ways discovered this year to hand out treats. Halloween is an important holiday to many, so let's try to have another safe holiday for the kids. Be respectful of those around you that choose to wear a mask or don't choose to wear a mask. We know there are some people that believe a mask is unnecessary. I hope they don't become ill, because with that behavior, there is an increased risk of spreading the virus. Some of the recent Kodiak cases said they were not wearing a mask. Dr. Ann Zink is asking us to be realistic about this virus, but also optimistic. Stay above emotion and find a way to get to the end of this pandemic. Be in the present and clear your mind and vision from distraction and stress. Kodiak is a special place. Kodiak residents have a sense of place, a sense of purpose, and a commitment to one another. This is not a sprint, rather this is a marathon. As the positive cases start trending upward, keep this in mind. Find something that makes you happy and console your children. They are likely experiencing stress with this virus. Some tips are to eat healthy and get plenty of rest. The EOC, the healthcare providers, your employers are working to protect you, but it is up to you to take precautions. Remember, stand back, wear a mask, and wash your hands with soap. The bubbles from soap break open the outer coating of the virus and destroy it. Right now, we're in the green level. As Kermit the Frog says, it's not easy being green, but we're dancing up against the next yellow risk level, so only you can prevent or control this. So remember to wear that mask if you can, please do so. And stay safe. We'll return again next Thursday for another live community update. Have a safe weekend.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Well, as we just heard, for the fourth day in a row, Kodiak has seen new cases of COVID-19 with a total of 23 since Friday. The Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization announced three new cases today, all involved people who recently traveled. Contact investigations are underway. Of the dozen that were reported yesterday, 11 were classified as close contact transmission cases, while only one was travel-related. Currently, 20 cases are currently active. The total number of cases in the Kodiak region since the first outbreak of the virus in April has now climbed to 121. And as we just heard, Kodiak will remain at the green or low risk level. At the medium level or yellow level, gatherings of 20 or more without the ability to socially distance would have been prohibited. Household transmission is one of the fastest ways that coronavirus spreads, especially in the colder months when people spend more time indoors. Kodiak's public health nurse, Bonnie Weed, says household transmission is even more challenging for large families, and this latest outbreak in Kodiak involved two families with children. She says it's an example of how difficult it is to keep household transmission under control, especially when a parent is diagnosed.
It's very hard not to let your kids in the door to see you or to not help them or be a part of their lives. If you have lots of children, it's not always possible that you're going to be able to lock yourself away.
Weed says for a big family, it can mean longer quarantine periods because for the adult, isolation begins on the day you last contacted someone who was positive.
So if mom is positive and we get her to the end of her 10-day isolation without having any symptoms, unfortunately, the 14-day quarantine for anybody else in the household begins on day 10, which essentially means a 24-day quarantine period for the other household members.
As household transmission becomes more common, Weed says this can make contact tracing even more important so that families can quarantine or isolate in time to prevent the virus from spreading rapidly to the wider community. She says the public's cooperation in contact tracing will make a huge difference in keeping COVID in check in Kodiak. Around the state, the Matanuska, Susitna, and Kenai Peninsula boroughs are seeing the most rapid increases in coronavirus cases. Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink said during a news conference on Wednesday that Anchorage and Fairbanks have the highest number of cases.
However, the areas that are on the fastest growth upward right now are the Matsu and Kenai, with doubling rates between 7 to 8 days.
Yesterday was the fifth straight day that Alaska health officials announced more than 300 new cases. Zink adds that Matsu residents had the highest rate of testing positive for the virus in the state in recent days. She says the Fairbanks region has succeeded in flattening the COVID-19 spread recently.
I think it really highlights the fact that this pandemic does not happen to us. This virus can only spread when we give it a chance to spread from person to person. It can't actually replicate without human cells. And so really the work that we all do collectively to slow the spread makes a gigantic difference.
Governor Mike Dunleavy and other state leaders described steps the state is taking to try to reduce the recent surge in cases. More rapid testing machines and tests are expected soon. The state is adding more people to work on contact tracing. Dunleavy says he hasn't been surprised by the increase in cases since the administration always knew that Alaskans would interact more, but he also says he didn't want to sound, quote, nonchalant about the spread, and he says the state would work to ensure hospitals aren't overwhelmed.
The next 2 months could be difficult months, but they don't have to be, again, if we all work together.
Dunleavy responded to continued calls for him to introduce a statewide mandate to wear masks in public by saying mask mandate decisions should be made locally. The governor also says that obsolete technology has prevented the state government from distributing additional money to Alaskans who are unemployed during COVID-19.
We're having a problem with it. It's outdated, it's outmoded, and in the manner that the feds want us to distribute the money, it's right now it's not working with the system.
Dunleavy said during a news conference yesterday that the state is aiming to have an answer to the problem by the end of the week. Dunleavy announced the state plan for the money in August, shortly after President Trump announced the program, but residents are still waiting for the payments. The Lost Wages Assistance Program is intended to pay up to $300 per week for a six-week period for a total of $1,800 on top of regular unemployment insurance benefits. A report recently made public by the Dunleavy administration proposes cuts for the ferry system that puts the future of the Tustamina in limbo and reduces the routes from Kodiak to the Aleutian Chain to twice a year. The report was the work of a committee named by the governor in February. He appointed Tom Barrett, a retired Coast Guard admiral, to lead what he called the Alaska Marine Highway Reshaping Work Group, which he tasked with finding a way to cut costs and make the ferry system more efficient. It's a job, Barrett says, that involves asking some difficult questions.
What is the plan long-term for the Marine Highway fleet, if you will, the fleet of vessels, the size of vessels, the capabilities? You know, a lot of them are too large. Serve small communities efficiently.
The Ferry Reshaping Group did not make any decisions about the future of the Tustamina, which is in need of replacement.
We didn't take a position on that because we don't see a long-term plan for it.
Money has already been allocated for the Tustamina's replacement, which is one of two ocean-class ferries in the state's fleet. A new ship would cost an estimated $220 million, but before that money is spent, Barrett says there needs to be a 30-year plan in place and decisions made about how it would fit into the overall system. One costly decision that's been on hold, whether the Tusty would be fitted with marine safety equipment that would allow it to travel to Canada. The Tustamina serves communities on the Aleutian Chain out of Kodiak, a route Barrett says should be cut back to twice a year.
It's a long, long run through difficult water, and we believe at least that there maybe some viable commercial alternatives available. They'd have to be tested, obviously. That's something the department would have to do to solicit and see if they're realistic.
Barrett says if day boats were used, the Tustamina might not be necessary. But Representative Louise Stutes, who serves on the working group, wrote in the report that the system's sailing weeks have already been reduced to the breaking point. She argued that once budget issues are resolved, operating days should go back up. She also questioned whether other alternatives would work and argued that the state has an obligation to serve communities in the system, no matter how small. Barrett says the report was just the first step in a process of trying to right-size the ferry system. He says the working group has asked the governor to appoint a transition team to carry out its recommendations.
You need a small group at a high level focused on doing that. Whether they adopt it or not is up to them, but that was part of our answer, having some place that's accountable for making whatever changes they decide to adopt and implement.
The working group also recommended that the governor appoint a 9-member board and give it the authority to manage the system. How can the Petersburg School District keep students learning in person on campus when COVID cases are spiking throughout the state? The district school board is considering a testing requirement for in-state travel that matches the out-of-state testing requirements. The school board will hold a special meeting Monday to discuss the proposal. KFSK's Angela Denning has this report.
4 COVID cases were announced in Petersburg on Tuesday. All of them are believed to be related to Petersburg residents traveling within the state. 2 people had recently been to Juneau, and the other 2 had visited Anchorage. The Petersburg School Board discussed the topic at a work session Tuesday night, along with school administrators. Erica Kluepainter is the superintendent.
I am concerned about travel within the state, to be honest. I'm probably as concerned or more concerned, honestly, right now about that. The days of thinking that in-state is just a breeze, I think those days are over.
The school district does not have a travel policy of its own regarding COVID testing. It just follows the state's mandate number 10, which requires testing for out-of-state travelers returning to town, but not for people traveling within Alaska. The state has been experiencing a severe spike in cases this fall. There have been over 100 new cases every day for over a month. The daily record of 526 new cases was set on Sunday, October 25th. School board member Megan Litster says she thinks the board should consider some kind of intrastate testing requirements.
Right now, as a district, a student could travel to a community that is in the very high-risk zone with lots of community spread, and they could come right back to school with no testing requirements.
Board member Katie Holmland asked if the board could have a special meeting to possibly make a decision before the next regular board meeting. Kluepainter liked the idea, saying she wants feedback from the board.
I'll definitely want your thoughts on all this, and then looking at what's going to come here in the next month and a half, 2 months, with Thanksgiving and Christmas and people potentially, you know, I mean, even staff and families, you know, talking about travel and what that might look like.
The state's travel mandate requires Alaskans returning to town from out of state to test and stay isolated for 5 days. Kluepainter said she'd support requiring that same thing for students and staff traveling in-state.
We might want to have the same sort of requirements at a minimum for the intrastate as well, you know, with the negative test and the minimum 5 days out. That's just something to consider.
Kluepainter says the district has asked staff members to consider not traveling for the holidays this year, and a lot have already said they are choosing to stay home. Still, they do have the right to travel.
As we all know, again, every decision that we all make right now can potentially have an impact on an entire school or an entire district.
A federal law allows educators 2 weeks of COVID leave, which is paid time that can be used for quarantining after travel. That is set to end December 31st. School board member Cheryl File asked if there were enough substitutes in the district to cover teachers who would need to quarantine. Kluepainter said she's been talking to people about just that. She says the district would do all it could to accommodate staff travel, but
we don't have a lot of subs, and so we're in a challenging time.
Litster says she knows a travel testing requirement for staff and students might not be popular with everyone in town, but it could help the school stay open.
Our priority is to get the school back into green, to get kids learning in person. We know it's best for everybody. And so if we could do that little bit as a community maybe that our staff, students, and families would be willing to make that small sacrifice in order to help maintain the school in the green zone.
The school board will continue the conversation Monday during a special meeting. The meeting will be at 5:30 p.m. and will cover only one topic, a possible testing requirement for interstate travelers. Board members said they would like to hear public feedback about the proposal. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fisherman's Virtual Expo at Sitka features slinky pots, fuel savings, mariculture, and more. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, high-quality video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
The Fisherman's Fall Expo at Sitka next month will be virtual, and while everyone misses meeting together, more people can benefit from workshops and good discussions no matter where they live.
You know, usually it's Sitka fishermen and women that come in and get to participate in these trainings and workshops, but this year we're hoping to have a broader scope of folks throughout the region and the state and maybe beyond, too.
Natalie Sattler is program coordinator for the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association and the Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust.
We've got quite the lineup. It is a bit pot-heavy.
Sattler is referring to the lightweight coiled slinky pots that keep whales away from black cod catches and are changing the game, especially for smaller boats.
They're going to do a demo online virtually showing us what they've come up with. We have Paul Rue from Precision Boatworks also talking about how to really set up your deck and hydraulics with pots, since that's sort of a newer thing for some folks. And then we have a couple of folks that are fishing with pots.
A forum will focus on the coexistence of gear types, as the new pots could lead to new fishing policies.
Because our hope is we want to help both hook and line and pot boats to really coexist on the ground and ensuring that small boats continue to have a viable future in the sablefish fishery.
Also in the lineup, updates on local mariculture, vessel energy efficiency, hybrid technology, Management 101, even fishermen's ergonomics.
How to take care of your body when you're fishing and what you can do to prevent certain injuries. So that'll be kind of fun too. Maybe we'll get folks up moving from the comfort of their own home.
The Fisherman's Virtual Expo is set for November 11th and 12th. Sign up for free to get the expo link at alphafish.org and find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 29th day of October, the year 2020. Sun rose today at 9:18. It won't set again until 6:28 p.m., giving us 9 hours and 10 minutes of glorious daylight. That is a loss of 4 minutes and 42 seconds compared to yesterday. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 1:36 this afternoon. That will be an 8.6-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 7:54 this evening of 0.6 feet. Our high tide in the middle of the night here on the east side will be at 2:04 a.m., a 7.77 feet. I like that. And our low tide tomorrow morning will be at 7:50 a.m. of 1.4 feet here in Kodiak. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 2:05 this afternoon. That will be a 15.2-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 8:24 p.m. of 0.3 feet. Your high tide in the middle of the night on the west side will be at 2:29 a.m., 2:30, a 15-foot tide, followed by a low tide tomorrow morning on the west side of 1.4 feet. Well, it's been a pretty pleasant day today, not so breezy as it has been. 34 degrees right now here in Kodiak. We're looking for sunny skies for the rest of the day, but a 10% chance of snow tonight after 4 a.m. with increasing clouds, a low of about 31 tonight. For tomorrow, look for rain and snow, becoming all rain after 1 p.m. Cloudy skies tomorrow with a high of about 37. North wind to 15 miles per hour. Your chance of precipitation for tomorrow is 70%. You might see some new snow accumulation of less than half an inch tomorrow. Rain's likely tomorrow night, though, so that's kind of probably going to mess up that snow, mainly before 7 p.m., then rain and snow after 7 p.m., cloudy skies tomorrow night with a low around 32. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 1,013 millibar low at 70 nautical miles southeast of Cordova will remain nearly stationary through Thursday morning and move to 80 miles east of Yakutat and go to 1,005 millibars on Friday afternoon before moving inland. A front will move into the western Gulf Friday afternoon and track eastward into Saturday morning. Your resulting weather, not too good. Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side offshore, we have a gale warning for tomorrow, with west wind to 15 knots right now, going to variable 15 tonight, seas to 4 feet. But for tomorrow, look for northeast winds increasing to 35 knots, seas building to 12 feet tomorrow afternoon on our east side. For Friday night, northeast wind to 30 knots, seas building up to 13 feet. For Saturday and Sunday and Monday, we have north to northwest winds 30 to 35 knots, seas 14 feet on Saturday, coming down to 11 feet on Sunday. Over on the west side in Shelikof, we have a gale warning on Friday as well, with west wind to 15 knots right now in the Shelikof, seas to 4 feet. But for tomorrow, look for northeast winds to increase to 40 knots in the Shelikof, seas to 8 feet. We will to 16 feet tomorrow afternoon. And for Friday night, northeast 35, seas to 15 feet. For Saturday, north winds 20 knots in the Shelikof, seas to 6 feet. And Sunday through Monday in the Shelikof, northwest wind 30 knots, seas to 7 feet. So pretty sloppy. The Borough Assembly has a work session tonight. That's happening at the school district's conference room at 6:30 p.m. Agenda items include discussion on a car crusher and a glass crusher, as well as an incinerator for the landfill. The packet review will be done. And there also will be an assembly special meeting immediately following the work session. This meeting was called by the mayor and assembly. Agenda items for the special meeting include consideration of matters and the call for the special meeting, executive session for solid waste contract, and teleconference with the borough attorney. For more information about all this, call the clerk's office at 486-9311. Senior citizens of Kodiak will be holding a board meeting on Friday, October 30th at 10:30 a.m. The meeting will be held in the center's multipurpose room. There will be social distancing and required masks for the public and board members. The meeting is open to the public. Call 486-6181 for more information. But again, that's tomorrow, multipurpose room, 10:30 a.m. Attention to voters. If you haven't registered yet for the November election, Alaskans can still register and vote for president and vice president with same-day in-person voter registration now through Election Day. For regional voting locations, dates, and times, you can call 270-2700. That's right, it's 270-2700. You can also go to elections.alaska.gov. That's elections.alaska.gov.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT. Two times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Support for KMXT comes from GCI. Since 2017, the GCI Suicide Prevention Fund has given nearly $500,000 to Alaska organizations and nonprofits in an effort to help prevent suicide and promote healthy communities. More information about suicide prevention resources and initiatives can be found at gci.com/gives.